From the great halls of their house, there are assembled three who hope to one day be the world's greatest driving heroes. Created from the cosmic legends of the universe comes our team captain, the Vision, Bill Fisher. Their soon-to-be Wonder Woman, Vicky Fisher. Our Captain Marvel and head flight trainee, Jennifer Scripchuk. And our Batman, the master of tools, gadgets, and all things mechanical, our mild-mannered soon-to-be billionaire, Alan Danvers. Their mission, to fight injustice, share what is right and wrong, to get you out of your house and come out racing with them, and serve all mankind. They are the Garage Heroes in Training Team. Dominating with Dawson.
Ben Dawson, I need some Ben Dawson.
Guess what? I have that covered.
You
got that covered.
You have Ben Dawson to spare?
Sure. You know, there's my dad says I'm all ass, so if y'all want some of that, welcome to it.
I don't know if that's the part that I want to talk to right now, but well, you know,
according to him, that's all there is. So you're welcome to a full serving.
According to Vicky, that's where I talk mostly from. So okay. We may have all something right. in common. So
here we go.
Ladies, are you participating in this week's affair?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
We've got two, count them, two of the pretty females of the Garage Heroes and Training Team. All right, very well. So this question comes to us courtesy of two different former podcasts. Well, actually three different former podcast guests. I was listening to the Track Walking podcast. Excellent podcast. We had Scott, the host on there, on. And he was interviewing Paul Gerard, which we also had on. And then I added in some Ross Bentley stuff later. So we'll get there. But what happened was in the last 20 minutes of the episode where Paul Gerard was on, they started talking about the friction circle or the limit not being defined strictly as a fixed point. Like, this is not the limit. The limit is flexible and it can be influenced by many, many things. Among them, we'll talk about most of them, but it's not you driving at the limit. It's not like what we would consider, think of the fictional speed limit that they have on these highways. It's fiction. It's not the limit because I obviously can go faster than that. I mean, it's proven it every day.
Right. But also with the limit being something that can be sort of on a spectrum affected by many different things, it's smart to be thinking of it not as here's the limit, this is what it is, this is what it always is, or, you know, I'm going to go buy this limit off the shelf and it's always the same thing. You know, it's good to not get locked into a concept of what, hey, I'm at the limit and doing it exactly right. I'm only saying that because I've been there on that plateau before, thinking like I'm at the limit.
Some people do that. So ladies, let's start with you first. When you say I'm driving, or when you think I'm driving at the limit, what comes to your mind when thinking about that as a concept? Ooh, I got chin scratching.
Jennifer, do you want to go first?
Well, she's on mute, so she can't go first.
Yeah.
Oh, now she can.
There's a lot of background noise over here. That's why I've
okay.
But I'm thinking about this, so hold on. What does it mean when I'm driving at the limit? I mean, it's hard to put in words.
For sure. That's why we're talking about it.
Like, it's just, I guess it's just a feeling like you.
Well, let me take some pressure away. Vicky's original definition of being at the limit was, and I believe this gets pretty close to a quote, it's when just a little bit of pee comes out when I'm going around a turn.
And that I was going to say, you know, like, that's accurate. Like, but I, you know, like this, sort of fear or anxiety, or just a little bit of, you know, like, oh shit.
Yeah. You're definitely holding on to that horse. Right, yeah. But, you know, do you mean, it could be in the context of, again, I'm probably overthinking this, it's the context of the car's limit or your own personal limit or both. So
that's good.
Yeah,
it was just like the limit. Just the limit.
The limit to where my skills will take me is where my limit is. And of course, that P.
it's the point right before I look at the back of my shirt and say, I ran out of skill. Yes.
It's that, oh crap, I'm holding on for dear life, yet I I'm having enough courage to do what I need to do, knowing and trying to trust the car. But at the same time, you know, my limit is, again, you just feel a little bit of that pee come out. You're just holding on for dear life.
Okay. So besides having any covers for my seats now, Ben, would you care to refine this perhaps and expand upon the concept a bit?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, there's a limit of what the car can deliver as far as speed, you know, around a course. So that's one limit, is just how fast can I do this and how much speed can I carry around the course. There's also driver limitations. Also, just as you learn and get better and have a bigger and bigger context and toolboxes of ways to react to certain situations as they come up, or also to be a bigger set of context to know what to expect in different driving situations, you'll have a higher limit of things you can do in the car than a green HPDE student would have, for instance. So there are definitely driver and car limitations, and you may be limited by things like a track condition. If somebody oils the track down, you're not going to be able to go through that corner as quickly. You know, if they oil down one corner at the track and then pull off after they blow their engine, that track's not going to have as much grip as it did before that person dumped all their fluids on there. Or also, if it's raining, that's going to change your car's limits and your own limitations with what you can get away with. I think if I had to distill, if somebody said, Ben, tell me just one thing about what is the limit when it comes to track or car, I guess high performance driving or racing or track driving. If I had to boil it down to one kernel, it's the limit is using every available amount of grip that the tire can put down to the track. Mm-hmm. Using all the available grip that the car has, nothing left before you're into a slide, then you're at the limit.
Okay. Is that do we agree upon that, ladies? Can we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
but I do want to add into it that
are you peeing again?
Going into this, it is amazing how much education it takes to actually drive. It's more than just getting in a car and going fast. There's a lot more to it. And, you know, I think so, you know, it's easy to confuse when people step in. It's like, oh, just go in and go fast. Well, there's a lot to it. And I'm still learning, you know, to get
me
to
too,
the limit.
Okay, so let's sure. pretend we're going to pick one track, one turn. Okay, so I don't care which one. Something you guys are comfortable with.
Looking at you, Vic.
One track, one turn. I would have to say NJMP turn one.
Okay. Cool. Jen, you've been there. We were just there. Ben, have you been there yet?
I haven't, but I got a pretty good idea.
I mean, it's just familiar. That's okay. All.
So we're on Lightning or yeah. Thunderbolt. Lightning?
Yeah, Lightning. Okay. It's the...
Yes, Lightning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So Lightning, just so Ben's familiar, big, long straightaway. Mm-hmm. Hard right-hand turn, slightly uphill, mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of camber. Mm-hmm. Classic 90-degree turn-ish.
Yeah, it's a 90-degree-ish, okay. Yeah.
So let's pretend
yep.
that we're talking about the turn, and let's pretend we're in a car. Doesn't matter what the car is. We're just going to say car. We're in the race car. And you are able to take that turn at 60 miles an hour. Okay? Mm-hmm. And you feel the car start to wiggle a little bit. And, you know, Vicky, you get your bodily fluids flowing. And Jen, you get a little squirrely on the outside going, ooh, that wasn't so bad.
You know, Jennifer's cussing as she's going around that track on those turns.
Only if I'm not in the car. If I'm in the car, she's very polite. But, you know, so is that the limit?
See, this is one of those open questions. Is it the limit? I don't. Jennifer, okay. Do you want to take that one?
I guess, yeah. Like, sure.
Okay. So, does it change throughout the day?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Towards the afternoon, it's usually a little lower if it's hot, right? A little lower speed.
Well, maybe, but at the end of the day, too, sometimes you have a better understanding on how to take that track.
See, there's so many things.
There's so many variables in it.
There really is too many variables to.
You know, I mean, yeah, you could take it weather depending okay. for sure.
So and weather, tires,
traffic.
Traffic. Well, traffic's not the limit. That's just.
No, but traffic holds you back from limit. Sure.
But the limit's still whether
you already have a little bit of pee in your pants
already. But you know what? Yeah, I think as it works for me, as you're driving and you're really warming up and you really start getting really, really focused, you could probably take that turn maybe faster. You know, we're probably not full 60 going around, but I'm just saying that your focus changes. So you might end up being quicker at it.
So then were you at the limit before then?
You probably were not at the limit before, but again, you were
at your limit at that moment.
At that moment, it was the limit.
Okay, at that moment, it was the limit.
So the limit's got a point in time and a point in the car and a point in your tires and a point in the weather and a point in the traction.
It's not definitive. You can't define the limit for everybody. Like everybody has their own limit. So like it's
variable. The limit is how much can the tires take at the same time as you're hitting that turn. You know, are they chirping? Are they squealing? Are they sliding? You know, okay. So that's a variable also.
Okay. What if the point that I'm trying to get to?
Yeah, Bill, get to like what
get,
is
get
your
to
point?
The god dang point.
I love the questions where I know what the answer is I want and I can't get there. But anyway,
drive that bus, Bill.
All right. So the point in this conversation was that the driver can influence what the limit of the car is. So let's pretend that we're on the right-hand turn and it's 60 miles an hour. There's things the driver could do to make 61 or 62 possible, just as there's things that the driver could do that would upset the car and make 56 the limit. So the limit is a dynamic situation. For instance, if you go into the turn and you jam on the brakes and you get all that weight up front, all the weight up front, the car is not settled, the rear end is going to be light and it may not be able to go around at 60 because there's just not enough grip there. Mm-hmm. And you can spin. So the limit, just because the car is sliding, does not define what the limit is.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it may be not the limit for the car, but it might be the limit for the driver, because obviously
that's a skill thing.
Right.
And we're trying to work on driver skill.
Right.
And thinking about the ways that the driver skill and driver techniques can influence the limit. Does that make sense to you, Ben? Or am I walking somewhere you're like,
he's going broad again.
Ben's already checked out. Like that was
Ben's like, I'm on the next turn. You bitches are back there like, going around.
Flipping his fingernails. Like, you know.
I'm looking over at Ben. He's got dolphins between his ears right now. Dolphin noises.
No, Bill, I think I grasp what you're meaning. You're saying that you could be all out of shape and out of control, but trying to make the car do the wrong thing. So you're finding the wrong limit.
You're finding a limit, but it's not the limit.
Yeah,
right.
You're finding the bad limit. Yeah. But also what he's saying is if you're gonna have a median limit established at 60 miles an hour around that turn, you know, maybe the assumption is you're just driving down the middle of the track or something. And there could be something you're gonna do like you know, taking better advantage of your turn in point, your apex and your track out point to maybe be able to carry more speed through there. Maybe that's part of where we're going. I haven't heard the podcast episode that was referenced, even though I think it was strongly encouraged in the chat. But it sounds to me like that we're talking about the limit not being a static thing, and it could also be driver dependent, car dependent, condition dependent, and you could find
so many variables.
Yeah. Right, and agree that there's tons of variables. But what I think we're trying to do, especially at the levels that we're all at, and even Ben, is trying to figure out how I can increase the limit.
Not go airborne for Ben.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, he doesn't do his Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard on the track.
Right. Yeah, try to keep Fred Lobster impending doom away, but we're trying to. We should be trying to, and the way you get stuck in a plateau is just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You should be trying to explore. Hey, what if I came in what if I broke just a little earlier, but not quite as hard, and I came off a little earlier, so I didn't slow down. So my speed is now 61 as I go to turn in, or something like that. And or maybe the converse, you could do it a little bit later. And there's things you can do, because a neutral car balanced with all four wheels feeling the same pressure is going to have the maximum amount of traction grip that you can have.
Sure. So if I'm in a track weekend, I'm going to do everything I can do to keep trying to improve my way around this section of the track or this turn. I'm going to do everything I can with my driving to find advantage. So finding your limit is, hey, how many ways, different ways can I pile on advantage after advantage to my approach to get me faster and faster? But then again, you might find a way where you're like, oh man, I know if I could get the car to just do this, I'd be even faster than all the things I've learned. So another thing that can come into play too, if you're a driver trying to influence your limit, it could be back in the pits between sessions, right?
The other thing I wanted to bring up though, ladies, is you guys are starting to become fans of the Apex Pro.
Yeah, that's not good.
And they have that little number for the lap, which says how much, it's kind of a score for how much of the grip you're using. This is going to be one of the ways where you can improve that number, increase that number, which will decrease your lap times, is try to figure out why can Vicky go through turn five at like 70 on the Apex score and Jen goes through at 67. Conversely, why at turn nine, Jennifer's up at 82 and Vicky's at 74, and try to figure it out. That's what the difference is that's how you're able to go increasingly faster. It's not that somebody's better at driving that car. It's that they're using more of the potential the car has. You know what I mean?
Hey, Jennifer, have you started understanding the Apex yet? Have you transitioned into that yet?
I do understand a little bit, and I really like it. Although I forget it's in there when I'm in there, like, which is a good thing, I think.
Right.
Yeah, you're not focused on it.
Right. And you know what?
Not at all.
You are just behind me right now. I mean, you were like right there. You're getting ready to transition over into it when you're going to start looking at it going, oh, I did it that way. I can do it differently going through. Like, you're going to start taking those little notes once you start getting off of track detail.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I'm glad the data's there. I think it's helpful after the fact. I mean, I wish that I was more aware of it when I was in there, but I'm not. I'm just not. So, yeah, I will be. But again, I don't know if that's a good thing. You know what I mean? Like,
I actually started having panic attacks or not panic attacks. I started having a little bit of anxiety because I couldn't read my car without that thing, which really? I might have to drive it for a little while without. I might have
you
to drive. To
go, you got to go analog. You should get, if you're,
yeah,
if you're
I think I need to do that. Yeah. I was actually kind of, I didn't realize how dependent I was becoming on that in-car data. And then I was like, I don't know if my car's doing anything right. Yay, sir.
You're not the first person to be guilty of letting the lap timer drive your car or driving the lap timer. You know what I mean? It's not good. It's good to realize you're doing it and find a way to refocus yourself. It's still a very useful tool. I mean, just hearing you folks talk about the Apex Pro has always been pretty inspiring, but I mean, you know, you guys are really digging into it and trying to use it in a way to optimize your limits. That's good.
But you know what? I think what I'd like to do, Bill, with that Apex Pro for a little while is maybe move it to a different part of the car where I can't see it.
I can make it so you can't see it.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
And that way we can still get the data.
Sure.
You know, getting the data. Don't worry. That's right. You're not.
Yeah, I'd like to do probably a couple HPDEs without it.
That's fine. So this leads me to one last part. So in addition to my discussion, which I think we're going to probably have to do again, because I don't think we quite got to where I wanted to go. In addition to this, this is where we go back to Vicky driving with her car very stable and on rails. There's this thing called an Ackerman steering angle, right?
Okay.
So an Ackerman steering angle is when the steering input is at pick a number of degrees and the car is just going and following the path that's equivalent to that steering angle. Okay. Do you remember back when you were trying to drive and trying to make it so that everything was smooth and you didn't have
I kept saying I was making the car float.
Yeah, float.
Yep.
What a ball of crap that was.
Oh, you're growing.
I was so polite at the time, I think.
You were.
Wait a minute.
We lost her.
You just
muted yourself.
Muted herself.
You were floating.
She used to say, I make the car float. I'm sitting there going,
just really smooth but fast around the corners. Yeah. But then I realized that I was not pushing the car limits. And that was before I learned how to actually feel the tires. So
you were at the point where there's this saying that smooth is fast, and you were at the point where smooth is slow.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was kind of sad.
So
if you're tracking perfectly with the steering angle and the arc your car is on, you're at just dead in the middle, Ackerman. Is that right?
That's when it's the steering angle is equal to the Ackerman steering angle, and everything's going around as geometrically designed. And then understeer is when your steering input on the wheel is greater than the steering output of the car. So the car is not turning as much as you want. And vice versa, you can do the steering angle of the car wheel, steering wheel, is less, and the car is actually rotating more. That's when the Ackerman angle is greater than the steering angle. So the input of the steering, and you can actually measure this and get into some stuff that I'm going to try to get us into next year, but I'm not going to tell anybody about it because you guys are just going to have your heads explode. But that's kind of one way to define understeer and oversteer. It's not just if the front is sliding, that's understeer. And if the back is sliding, that's oversteer. It's a little too simplistic. I don't know where I was going with that, but I thought it was quite fun.
I've never thought about it in those terms before. I like the Ackerman idea and then thinking about it, kind of more internalizing the concept of under and oversteer than just saying car point toward wall, car back end point toward wall.
Yeah. Hit wall front end, understeer. Hit wall back end, oversteer. Yeah. Yeah. And this is not the same as the understeer. Geometry.
Understeer, you see the wreck happen.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But gotcha. this is not the Ackerman steering suspension geometry angle. This is a different angle, but we'll talk about that later. All right, I think
that's
I've beaten this one into
the dust. I was saying I didn't understand the suspension thing, so I'm glad we didn't do that.
Yep, we did not. Yep. If you notice, we don't do suspension stuff on Dominated with Dawson because I can't do it, and I don't think Ben wants to do it, so we haven't done it yet.
And this guy's a Latin major. I just happen to know how to drive a car.
All right, very well. Hey, we do have a passing thing coming up with a guest to Dominate with Dawson at some point. We need to do that. But all right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.